I want to take us back a little bit to the larger point that Robert Skidelsky makes, which is this sense of, you know, there are limits to growth, that we must eventually get to a point where we have enough and we ought to be thinking more about the quality of our lives rather than the amount of stuff that we have. I mean, Lord Skidelsky, you're not just focused, in fact, you don't even talk that much about the environmental issue in your book. You're more focused on other limits to growth.
Yes, I think we prefer to call them moral limits to growth rather than natural limits to growth, because I think we really don't know what the natural limits to growth are. We don't really know enough about the science. I mean, I think that's the first point. And then I think there are severe ethical questions in how you value present and future generations, and all that makes the economics of climate change rather difficult. So we prefer to say, let's try and work out what a good life is, and that will dictate the amount of growth we need.
Patrick Mifford, you may not care about, you may think that it's not the economist's job to worry about the good life, but would you admit that there have to be some limits to economic growth, that we can't just carry on growing forever, or do you think that it is unproblematic if we need to carry on growing, to keep going as
well,
society?
Well, of course, you know, I mean, Robert Skidelsky sounds like the Reverend Thomas Malthus, and of course Malthus was actually taking a slightly opposite view. He was saying, of course, there are these limits on growth from resources, and if we don't invent more and reorganize ourselves, then people will die because they'll run out of resources. And that is the limit to growth, actually, isn't it? And technology has always been things that we've invested in through our growth that have allowed us to adapt to these various limits that seem to occur at various times. I think to say, as Robert does, there is a moral limit to growth, we shouldn't want more in certain areas, is incredibly paternalistic and patronizing. I can't understand why anyone would want to agree to that who wasn't already extremely rich.
But you don't think there comes a point where people have enough? Yeah. You know, we are a lot richer now than we were, say, 50 years ago.
Well, go to Cardiff Airport and ask the people there who are going on their package holidays, you know, whether that's a luxury that is in excess of their basic needs. I think they'd give you a raspberry.
I think rich is a very, very key word you've just used, Patrick, because I think we are talking about rich societies. And insofar as there are large areas of poverty in rich societies, then you have to sort of start thinking about redistribution.
Redistribution is something that is a real confession of failure, isn't it? If you have to take away
failure
from people...
Failure of markets, yes.
Well, not failure of markets, a failure of your vision of how we can achieve the greater good for everybody without taking masses away from people who are actually creating businesses or have other ends that require a lot of resources, like, for example, investing in venture capital or other things which require large resources. And so I think it's a confession of failure that we can't organize the economy so as to create growth and dynamism that involves everybody.